Who is Lord Chaitanya?
Incarnation of Krishna.
Incarnation of Krishna. Pretty close. Lord Chaitanya is very mysterious in a number of ways. One way to describe Lord Chaitanya is he's the inaugurator of the Yuga Dharma. We just were chanting Hare Krishna, and in this age of Kali, the most effective prescribed means for achieving perfection, spiritual elevation to its perfect stage, is through the calling and praising and singing and glorification of God's name. That Lord Chaitanya delivered that. So he's the deliverer of the Yuga Dharma, means of perfection for this age. So in that sense, he's an incarnation of Krishna. Because the term avatar means one who descends, and there are six categories, according to Padma Purana. There are six categories of avatars, and one of them is the Yuga avatar. That form of the Lord who delivers the means for achieving perfection within that Yuga or age. And there's five other categories, and Lord Chaitanya is in one of them, and so he's an avatar of Krishna, or incarnation of Krishna. Another way of describing who is Lord Chaitanya is he's Krishna himself, which is a little more puzzling. Because there are expansions of Krishna. There's this nice example. We were discussing in the Bhagavatam class this morning. During the month of Damodar, Damodar is just disappearing. But during the month of Damodar, well, let's say it this way. In Vrindavan, many of you have been to Vrindavan. Some of you haven't been, and may you be fortunate to visit Vrindavan. When you visit Vrindavan, you'll most likely visit Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan. It's the ISKCON's temple the Prabhupada established. And during the month of Kartik, there are so many people in Vrindavan. I was told by a devotee that's been living there for 15 years that, just as an example, during the month of Kartik comes Gopastami. Gopastami is a celebration when Krishna began herding the cows. So there's a big festival in Vrindavan. Gopastami festival. And all over the place, everyone's worshipping cows. Because that's... Krishna was the son of Nanda Maharaj, who was the king of the cowherds, and their life was... It was their occupation. They were vaishyas, and they were krishi gorakshavanijam. They were producing grains and protecting cows. And engaging in marketing those things. That's the Vaishya occupation. So, but he was the king of the cowherds. And when Krishna was old enough to take care of the cows, big festival, and they worshiped the cows. And the very day of Gopastami is the day when Sanatan Goswami, who was residing by the side of Manasi Ganga and along Govardhan Hill, he left his body at 80 years of age. On that Gopastami day, so because the main temple where he normally would reside, or he began worshipping the Madan Mohan temple in Vrindavan, on the day of his departure, they placed his body on a palanquin, circumambulated Govardhan Hill, which is 23 kilometers or 14 miles, good number of hours, depending on how fast you walk. And then from there, another 14 miles, they took Sanatan Goswami on Gopastami day to Madan Mohan temple and performed his samadhi. So his samadhi is there by the Madan Mohan temple. So that was some 520 years ago or something like that. Now, every day on Gopastami day, it's a tradition that many, many, many pilgrims do Govardhan Parikrama on Gopastami day. We didn't do Govardhan Parikrama on Gopastami day, but this devotee that's been there for 15 years said, the estimate of the number of pilgrims that do Govardhan Parikrama on Gopastami day is 10 million people in one day. I mean, think about what it's like when there's a football game downtown or a baseball game and how many people attend. It's like 40,000 or whatever the number is, 60,000 or whatever the number is. This is 10 million people. How many people live in Chicago?
About that amount.
10 million people in one day going around Govardhan Hill to honor Sanatan Goswami. And Sanatan Goswami was one of the chief followers of Lord Chaitanya. And so one way to describe who was Lord Chaitanya is he is Krishna himself. And with each of the avatars, there's a place where they reside. Avatar means one who descends. So they descend from somewhere. They descend from the spiritual world into this Devidam, into the material realm. So just to help get a picture on who is Lord Chaitanya, according to Brahma Samhita, there are gradations of lower and higher realms. And within this Devidam, that's where we are, there's the lower, the middle, and the upper planetary systems, you know, within each universe. And there's so many universes. And each of those universes are within the field of the material energy. Or like, here's a big picture of the spiritual sky, and over here in the corner of the spiritual sky, there's a cloud of material energy. And otherwise, there's no material energy anywhere in the vastness of the spiritual sky. And we're somewhere over here in Devidam. So beyond this universe and the whole of the Mahatattva, the material energy, that cloud that's over there in the corner of the spiritual sky, there's a region where it's the dividing space or dividing territory between the material and spiritual realm, called the river Viraja. On this side of the river is the material realm. On the other side of the river is the spiritual realm, and the river Viraja is the dividing territory or space or that which separates the material and spiritual realm. Beyond that, on the other side of the river Viraja, is the vastness of the spiritual sky. And in that vastness of the spiritual sky, there are planets where those who descend in this world reside, Vaikuntha planets. And there are forms of Narayana, depending upon the position of the symbols within the hands of Narayana, different names, Rishikesh and Padmanabha and Shridhar, and depending upon they are identified according to what they're holding in their hands, the position of them. And so those forms of the Lord that descend into this world, the avatars, have their abodes, and above this, within this vastness of the spiritual sky, but above the Vaikuntha realm, is, according to the scriptures, is the realm of Ayodhya. It's very, very high, even above the Vaikuntha planets, having to do with the variable, specifically, is having to do with the intimacy of love. Not to say that in Vaikuntha, they're not situated in Shuddha Bhakti, pure devotion. But there's a, Sanatan Goswami describes in his Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is like a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a, beyond Shuddha Bhakti, there's a predominance of strong service mood, unrestricted by formality. Because in the Vaikuntha realm, the opulence is so overwhelmingly strong, there is simply on reverence and love based upon reverential love due to this overwhelming strength of the opulences of Bhagavan. Where that the opulences of Bhagavan are still there in full, but the intimacy of loving service increases, we find that in Ayodhya Dham. So when Ramchandra appeared, and when he finished his pastimes with his associates, except he left Hanuman behind to remember him and glorify him, they all returned to Ayodhya. Above that Ayodhya Dham, according to the scriptures, especially I've been absorbed in studying of Sri Brahma Samhita, which is a like a sutra-like presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam. So then there's the topmost of these spiritual planets called Krishna Loka, where Krishna resides. And in Krishna Loka, there are different divisions, different parts of Krishna Loka. One is Dwarka, another is Mathura, another is Vrindavan, or Braja. And Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, or Brajendra Nandana Krishna, or Nanda Nandana, Yasoda Nandana, Krishna resides in Braja, along with his associates. And then there's Mathura, where intimacy is somewhat diminished, but there's, to some degree, it's there. And then further is Mathura, where intimacy is less, but the very, very strong feelings of exalted love for Krishna is there. And then there's what Brahma Samhita calls a mysterious region. It's called Swetadweep. Sweta means white. So Swetadweep is that area where Vishuddha Sattva, or pure goodness, prevails. Because the whole of Goloka, the whole of the spiritual world is like that. Pure goodness, unmixed with any modes of nature, any influence of karma, it's all absent. It says pure goodness. And in that Swetadweep region is where Lord Chaitanya resides eternally. Because he's an avatar, he has a place, that's where he resides. And it's a part of Krishna Loka. So the topic is, who is Lord Chaitanya? So I'm now describing where he resides. He's an avatar who descends, incarnation of Krishna, and he has his place. And his place is the same as Krishna's place. It's not Devi Dham, it's not Vaikuntha Dham, it's not Ayodhya Dham, it's Goloka Dham. That's where he resides eternally. Now, Lord Chaitanya appears just after Krishna appears showing his pastimes in Vrindavan. And it's very special and infrequent when Krishna shows his pastimes in Vrindavan. Because the Vedic teaching says that Krishna appears in his original form once in a day of Brahma. And Brahma has a long day. His day consists of 1,000 yuga cycles. And one yuga cycle is for 1,320,000 years, times 1,000, is his day. That's a long, he has a long day. And once in that day, in one of those 1,000 yuga cycles, Krishna appears and shows his pastimes in Vrindavan. Shows his pastimes in Vrindavan means, it's called Prakat Leela. Again, this is Sri Brahma Samhita language. Prakat means manifest. When Krishna appears and once in a day of Brahma, he shows his pastimes in such a manner that anybody can see, qualified, unqualified. You can be the most unqualified person. You could be Kamsa or Shishupal, or Dantavakra, or so many, you know, most unqualified people, and still see Krishna. Very merciful. And then all the gradations of people to the most perfect souls, they can also see Krishna, and everybody in between. When Krishna does that, just after Krishna's doing that, Lord Chaitanya appears. Which means there's 999 other appearances of Krishna where he doesn't show his Vraja Leela. He shows his pastimes in Mathura and Dwarka. But that pastime when Krishna says, please take me out of this prison house and take me to the other side of the river Jamuna, to the home of Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So Vasudev does that in the middle of the night. He's carrying Krishna across the river Jamuna and places Krishna by the side of Mother Yashoda. that whole lila doesn't take place 999 times. It's Vasudev Krishna, forearm Krishna, who appears in Mathura and performs his pastimes in Mathura. He doesn't herd cows. He doesn't play flute. He doesn't, you know, have activities with cowherd boys and cows and gopis. He doesn't do any of that. He does the Vasudev Krishna program. He exhibits those pastimes that are the same as exist in the spiritual world from which he descends. And then Dwarka. So the lila plays out very differently. It's the same person, supreme person, who is manifesting that form, but he manifests the form of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, or Govinda, the lover of cows, and Gopinath, the lord of the gopis, once in a day of Brahma, and just after, Lord Chaitanya appears. So there's a very special relationship, or non-different identity, between Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. And it goes like this, according to Sri Brahma Samhita. Back to the picture of the of Goloka. The Svetadvipa region, part of Goloka, is said to be outside, that like a lotus that has its corolla and then many, many, many thousands of petals, the petals being the abodes of particularly the gopis, but also the associates of Krishna, and Radha and Krishna's abode is in the center. And then there's a region outside the lotus. That's where Svetadvipa is. There's a world, there's the petals, and there's the region outside. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resides there, along with the Chaturvyuha forms of the Lord, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradumna, and Aniruddha, and so many other personalities reside there. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, one may think, well, this is where Radha and Krishna are, and that's outside of where Radha and Krishna are, and therefore it's less important. But he says, no, it's not less important. It makes Goloka complete. It's part, it's an integral part of Goloka, and it makes Goloka complete, or without it, it's incomplete. So you can't have Goloka being incomplete, it's complete. And that which makes its completeness is, helps us understand who is Lord Chaitanya. So when Krishna descends from Vrindavan, once in a day of Brahma, he engages in wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan. And at the age of, well, there's different statements. One is that at the age of 12, another is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says at 10 years and 4 months, Krishna leaves Vrindavan, Akura comes and takes Krishna from Vrindavan and takes him to Mathura. And there he starts his Mathura Leela. He meets the washerman, and he meets the florist, and he meets the weaver, and meets Kubja. He kills Kuvalyapita, he kills Chandra and Mushtaka and Kamsa, and he's reunited with Vasudeva and Devaki. Those are pastimes in Mathura. Just to embellish this, when Krishna sees Vasudeva and Devaki, think of those of you that are parents, and on the very day that your eighth child is born, the first seven having, the first six being killed, the seventh one a miscarriage, and the eighth one, the eighth child, the very night that the child is born, The child is taken, and you don't see your child for 12 years. I mean, it's pretty hard to imagine, but imagine that. And then here's your 12-year-old child. Now, what's a parent going to feel? Overwhelming affection. But Vasudeva and Devaki, they know who is Kamsa. They saw when Krishna appeared, his four-armed form of Lord Narayana, or Vishnu. And knowing how the powerful nature of Kamsa, without elaborating, there's nice elaborations, very powerful. With one 12-year-old fist punch, Kamsa's dead. They recognized he's the Supreme Lord. And there he is standing before them. And there with awe and veneration, like a Vaikuntha mood. But at the same time, Devaki is the mother of this 12-year-old child, and her motherly affection becomes very strong. It starts rising and becoming stronger and eclipses the reverential affection. And she embraces her son, and Nanda Maharaj embraces Balaram. And so there's this thing, this competition or prevalence of veneration, prevalence of intimacy of love. In Vrindavan, it's only intimacy of love. That's the speciality of Vrindavan. When Mother Jasoda sees inside Krishna's mouth to see if he's eating dirt, she sees something amazing. And she thinks, I better lie down, I better get the brahmanas to perform purificatory rituals to free me from this ghost that's inhabiting me, so I'm seeing these visions. Because she can't see Krishna's God. Because intimacy is so strong, although he's demonstrating his godliness, or Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill, and so on. Resident in Vrindavan, seeing the unlimited opulences of Krishna, the display of them, but the intimacy of love is so strong it doesn't prevail. In Mathura, there's sometimes this and sometimes that. And in Dwarka, it's more the majesty feature, more like Vaikuntha. And then Ayodhya, and then Vaikuntha. So, when Krishna performs his pastimes in Vrindavan, the intimacy of the love of Krishna with the residents of Vrindavan is overwhelming. So overwhelming that Uddhava, who's outside of Vrindavan, is the most exalted, elevated, intimate associate of Krishna. He's so intimate that Krishna seeks advice from him, and he does whatever Uddhava says. It's that kind of intimacy. Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan with a message for the gopis. It was a message for the gopis, but it was also to open the eyes of Uddhava to see what is this realm of Vrindavan. Only once in a day of Brahma is that revealed to the world, because otherwise it's there in an unmanifest form. But revealed to the world, Uddhava went and saw. And his awe and reverence disappeared, and his appreciation of that kind of love that is so intimate, it overwhelms the opulences and awe and veneration mood. He wished to enter Vrindavan and reside there as a blade of grass. In that kind of reverential, that respect mood towards the residents of Vrindavan. Let them just walk on my head. according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, after Krishna completes his pastimes, he considers, how much love does Radharani have for me? What is the happiness that she experiences in that love? How does she perceive the qualities in me that stimulate that love? I want to experience that. And he's Bhagavan. He can do anything, right? Except that one. That's one he can't do. So he tried. Couldn't do it. Because the happiness of the lover towards the beloved can only be experienced by the lover towards the beloved, not by the beloved. And so he appeared, Krishna appeared, just after the Braja pastimes are performed in this world, once in a day of Brahma, as Lord Chaitanya, who is Krishna himself. So, who is Lord Chaitanya? He's Krishna himself. In the mood of Radha, and the complexion of Radha, to experience the happiness of Radha in her love for Krishna. Very deep. That's who is Lord Chaitanya. And he resides in Swetadweep, in Krishna Loka. So that Swetadweep isn't like, you know, the suburbs. Or less important. They're like the countryside where they have cow pastures. That's not less important. That's most important. And the Swetadweep portion makes Braja complete. It makes Goloka complete. Because it's that place where Krishna experiences the happiness that Radha has in her love for him. And then he appears in this world and displays that. That's who is Lord Chaitanya. So we'll put those two things together. This is now Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are external and there are internal reasons for Krishna's, Lord Chaitanya's descent. The external reason is the Yogavatar reason. He's an incarnation of Krishna who has come to deliver the Yuga Dharma. That's who is Lord Chaitanya. And he also appears, second reason for his appearance is, Advaita Acharya called him to appear. Please come, this age of Kali is so horrible. Even the Brahmanas are misusing their brahminical prowess and strength to advance in material happiness. How unfortunate. Please come and correct this situation. He appealed to the Supreme Lord to come, to correct the misdirected civilization in this age of Kali. Because the Brahmanas are meant to give the vision and the sound vibration that elevate the rest of society. But they were misdirected because of this age of Kali. So Advaitacharya's loud appeal for Lord Chaitanya to descend was another external reason. It's related. And a third also related is Krishna's fulfilling a promise. Yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bharata. He promises in Bhagavad Gita that when there is discrepancy in dharma, he appears. Of course, there's lots of discrepancy in dharma lots of times. But so he appears as Lord Chaitanya and also the holy name. Namavatar. The Yugavatar is delivering the Namavatar. The incarnation of this age that's delivering the means of perfection brings the holy name and leaves the holy name, and we can still chant the holy name. We were just chanting the holy name. As a manifestation of Lord Chaitanya, bringing the holy name. Then there's those internal reasons mentioned already. Krishna, wishing to experience Radha's love for him, the happiness in her love and the qualities that she sees in him, how it stimulates, Krishna's qualities stimulate emotion, spiritual emotion, transcendental emotion, and how Radha experiences those qualities is most unique, most wonderful. Krishna wanted to relish as Radha relishes, to experience the happiness of Radha, to experience the love that Radha has for Krishna, although Krishna himself. That's who was Lord Chaitanya. Now, that's something that can be explained to an audience like this when we have a public audience. We don't go into all of this because there's not a capacity to understand. Devotees can understand, specifically, let's say this, devotees that have had the opportunity to associate with those in the line of Lord Chaitanya, or we'll say even more specifically, according to Narottam Das Thakur, by the mercy of Rupa and Raghunath only, by the mercy of the Goswamis of Vrindavan only, can one understand what I just said. This who is Lord Chaitanya explanation, the second one. Because the first one, he can be regarded as people outside of the Gaudiya tradition, they regard him in different ways. They regard him as a saint or a great sannyasi, one who traveled in India and taught teachings of devotion to Krishna. He's regarded that way. Some regard him as more rare, some regard him as an incarnation of Krishna, delivering Yuga Dharma. That's far more rare. But far more rare is what I just said. It's something that can be appreciated, and that the evidence, or the means of proof of all of that, the pramana, comes from Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya appreciated Srimad Bhagavatam in a very special way. And the followers of Lord Chaitanya do also. It's our primary pramana. While I was in India, at our GBC meeting, one of the devotees distributed the latest BBT publication. And it's a work, it's one of Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas. Jiva Goswami is one of our six Goswamis, and he wrote Sandarbhas, a six-part commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, and the first that six-part commentary is now published, Tattva Sandarbha. And just very quickly, so we were asked, please take our free copy and please teach it. I've already read Tattva Sandarbha, but I can just summarize. In a very jubilant way, that the book begins in a classical standard way, how literatures, Vaishnav literatures are to begin. He states the purpose of the book. He glorifies his Ishtadev, worshipable deity, who is Lord Chaitanya. And then he goes into the subject. The subject is, I want to talk about Krishna. And then he says, but before I talk about Krishna, it would be proper to speak about, on what basis should I speak about Krishna? On what basis can one know about the topic I wish to speak about, Krishna? So he goes into Pramana Kanda, the section that's dealing with what's the best way of knowing Krishna. It will make a long presentation short. The principal means of knowing things, sense perception, logic and reason, and scripture. Of the three, scripture is best. Of the scriptures, there's so many scriptures. How do we decide which is best? And he goes through a whole thing, ends up with scriptural references. Srimad Bhagavatam is the best means of knowing Krishna from scriptural evidence. So things that I've said, the basis for them is found in Srimad Bhagavatam and other literatures, but primarily Srimad Bhagavatam and in this Sri Brahma Samhita that I've been studying and will be speaking about over the Thanksgiving holiday. It's specifically described that within this realm of Goloka, so the first few verses of the book, there is this Svetadvipa region, and there is the residence of Lord. Therein lies the residence of Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Brahma, the preceptor of our sampradaya. So we're followers of Lord Chaitanya within the Brahma sampradaya. According to the Padma Purana, there are four primary, still intact today, sampradayas. One of them is the Brahma Sampradaya, that's ours. Brahma achieved his perfection by meditating on Goloka Vrindavan in the form of a yantra, a depiction, a graphical depiction. While chanting his mantra, he meditated upon a yantra. A yantra is a graphical description of Goloka Vrindavan, or yantra of whatever it is. Like in our temple in Mayapur, there's on the side, there's the main altars of the Panchatattva and Radha Madhava and the Ashtasakis. And over on the side, there's a temple of Lord Nrisimhadev. Those are our three altars in our temple. If you look at the altar of Lord Nrisimhadev, on the left and on the right, there's yantras. There's brass plates with something inscribed on them. The something that's inscribed on them is a Nrisimha yantra. It's a depiction of the abode of Nrisimhadev in the spiritual world. And there's mantras to Nrisimhadev inscribed on that yantra. And a form of meditation and worship of Lord Nrisimhadev is meditating on the yantra while saying the mantra. That's the system that Brahma used. Our system is much simpler, but that's the system that Brahma used. And in that depiction of that yantra is where Lord Chaitanya resides, because Lord Chaitanya is in Goloka Vrindavan. And he descends once in a day of Brahma to teach us the chanting of the holy names of the Supreme Lord and to demonstrate that kind of love that will take us to Vrindavan. You know, that portion of this of Goloka where eternally those who follow Lord Chaitanya properly can unite with Krishna, associate with Krishna after this body is finished and you go back to Godhead there in the spiritual world with Krishna because of what Lord Chaitanya has given. Because otherwise it's Mathura or Dwarka, not to say, you know, I don't want to, you know, it's not a nice place. But the intimacy, the intensity of intimacy of love in Vrindavan is part of Lord Chaitanya's message. It's part of Lord Brahma's message. But Lord Chaitanya highlighted it by his own mood of love and correspondingly with his teachings. So supposing somebody doesn't know all of that, and they just chant Hare Krishna. The chanting of Hare Krishna is very, very powerful. Even unknowingly chanting Hare Krishna, even someone's like passing by a group of devotees who are chanting Hare Krishna, they don't even know what it is. Like that. I'm just unknowingly getting involved in the holy names of the Supreme Lord. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. It is the power sufficient to eradicate all of one's past reactions to past misdeeds and clean the slate. Bring one to the state of freedom from past bondage to material activities. Certainly sinful activities, but all activities. Material activities. Liberation can be achieved just from the chanting of the holy name, even if one doesn't know all of what I just said about who is Lord Chaitanya. But by appreciating who is Krishna and who is Lord Chaitanya and chanting Maha Mantra or performing our devotional service, following the chanting of the Maha Mantra, the opportunity is there, the potency is there, the invitation is there, everything is there to enter into that same kind of love that Lord Chaitanya came to deliver along with the chanting of the holy name. He is most merciful. I'll end with this one. We say in our those of you that are offering your food to Krishna before you take your meal, we say three sets of prayers. Guru, Garanga, and Krishna. Prayers to the spiritual master, prayers to Lord Chaitanya, and prayers to Krishna. And the one to Lord Chaitanya, Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gaur Trishe Namaha. We say, the translation is, he's the most munificent. It's an interesting word. Merciful, like a special kind of like superlative merciful, is munificent. He's the most munificent of all forms of the Lord because he is delivering what no other incarnation offered before Krishna Prema. But other incarnations, the other, let's say, 999 times, that Lord Chaitanya, as he is, doesn't appear. There's another Yuga Dharma avatar that teaches chanting of names of the Supreme Lord, and by that chanting of those names, one may enter into Vaikuntha. Or Mathura and Dwaraka, but not Vrindavan. It's very special, the gift that Lord Chaitanya gave, to enter into the realm of Vrindavan. So one should try to appreciate the speciality, the uniqueness, the munificence, that which no one has ever offered before, that special kind of love. It's not to... One should be careful, we should be careful, to not... diminish in any way the transcendentally wonderful nature of Vaikuntha, not poo-pooing Vaikuntha. It's especially appreciating Vrindavan and that kind of love that the resident of Vrindavan have, as Krishna has that appreciation himself. He wanted to explain to the queens in Dwarka what it is about the resident of Vrindavan, that even when he's in Dwarka with all of his loving associates in Dwarka, his mind is upon Vrindavan because of the love of the resident of Vrindavan. And he is giving that. Please take it. And who is he giving it to? All kinds of people. Unqualified people like ourselves. Like, you know, we don't know what that is. But he's still giving it. Please take it. So he's most merciful. And the gift is most superlative. So that's something about who is Lord Chaitanya. And we're following his line, following Rupa Goswami, and through Rupa Goswami, you know, there are practices that we maintain, deity worship, and observing appearance days, and, you know, things, how we follow our lives. Our lifestyle is given to us by Rupa Goswami. And by following carefully Rupa Goswami, it takes us to that gift that Lord Chaitanya wanted to give. And it's embedded within his teachings. If we study carefully and follow carefully, that gift, we're able to receive it. Just have to have our hands reached out, like willing to receive that kind gift. Hare Krishna. So, any discussion? Yeah.
So you said the 999 other times, it's not two-handed Krishna appearing, it's right. Vishnu.
Yes.
So then, and then there's another...
Well, it's Vasudev Krishna.
So then, I mean, would people in that time have an... Would they have any knowledge of, like...
I've never had anybody ask that question before. And I would have to guess that Yogamaya acts in such a way that that's not what's, you know, it's not their contemplation or meditation upon Krishna. That there's this other feature that's in Vrindavan, and, you know, we just don't have access to it. So it's something like what happened when Vasudeva and Devaki were approached by Krishna. They were standing with awe and reverence, but then came this intimacy. So that much intimacy, but not exactly, you know, the understanding of Krishna really has appreciation for Vrindavan, and there's this other place that it's not part of their awareness by Yogamaya's influence. Yes. Yes. In Vyasadeva was the compiler of the Vedas, and specifically the compiler of the activities of Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vyasadeva of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes is Vrindavan Das. He's recognized and appreciated as the Vyas of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. In his writing, he refers to Navadvipa as Swetadvipa. And subsequent acharyas have said, you know, there's no difference between the two. There's a mood difference. But transcendental difference otherwise, they're the same. Yes?
I was thinking when you were saying that there are various spiritual planets in the spiritual sky, and Goloka is not complete without Goloka.
That's not what I said. that what I said was Sweta Dweep makes Goloka complete. That's what I said. Part of Goloka is Sweta Dweep. There's the inner part, that's Vrindavan, the residence of Radha and Krishna is the Corolla. The petals are the residences of the gopis and the other associates of Krishna. And there's the area outside of the lotus, which is called Sweta Dweep, which makes Goloka complete. That's what I said. Oh, he's churning something.
So when we look at the whole picture where three-fourths of creation is spiritual world and one-fourth is the material creation.
Yeah.
So can we say that the whole creation is incomplete without the material creation? This makes the whole picture.
Yes. It's a different kind of complete than to say Sweta Dweep makes Goloka complete. But it's certainly appropriate to say. There's nothing outside of Krishna. There's two things. There's not a third thing. There's Krishna and that which comes from Krishna, and there's not a third thing. So Krishna includes that which comes from Krishna, so that makes Krishna complete. So his potencies are unlimited, and the expansion of those potencies is similarly unlimited, and that's part of Krishna. That's the oneness aspect, so it gets complete. Krishna has everything. And to say, well, otherwise is then... you're cutting off some part of Krishna's completeness. So in that completeness, just the one-quarter portion that's the material realm, there's a purpose described in Brahma Samhita, described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna's purpose. And then the opportunity to ignore or misuse Krishna's purpose is also part of Krishna's completeness. But love for Krishna is to accept the purpose for which he's given something, including this one-quarter portion.
Do we have any ways of distinguishing if he is an incarnation of Krishna or not? Like,
who?
If we want to find, they said there is only Dashavatars and Avatars officially. No.
There's not only. They're unlimited. Those are principle. And there's criteria for consideration of what makes them principle, but they're principle. But beyond the principle, there's as many incarnations as there are waves in the ocean. That's a lot. It doesn't mean somebody comes along and says, I'm an incarnation. Okay, we got another wave. There's criterion.
I would like to know, what are the factors that are taken into consideration?
Let's start with scripture. That's one starting point. On the basis of scripture, one can accept this is an incarnation, or rule out this is not an incarnation. On the authority of scripture.
Is it mentioned anywhere in the scriptures?
Is what? Sure. Would you like some scriptural evidence? No, but it depends on whether you want a little bit or medium or a lot. There's a lot. Lot. A lot. A lot. Here's one. You Vishnu Sahasranam. You're familiar with that, right? Mm-hmm. One of the 1,000 names of Vishnu is Lord Chaitanya's name. There's some details describing him. There's one. The Srimad Bhagavatam, there are several references. Not by name, but by characteristics. Here's one. Here's one. When, here's two, in fact. When the name-giving ceremony for Krishna was performed by Garga Muni, he identifies to Nanda Maharaj that your son in previous ages was of different colors. Shukla Rakta Tata Pita, indicating the Yuga avatars are red, white, and yellow. Now he's blackish. So the Yuga avatars, according to scripture, are in those colors. And then in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, the Navayogendras, Saint Karabhajana Muni is describing to King Nimi the Yuga avatars, and he describes the Yuga avatar for Kali Yuga. Krishna Varnam Trasam Krishna. So, Sangasta Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayai Yajanti Hisumeda Saha. But there's a verse where he's describing Lord Chaitanya. And those that take to it are those that have sufficient intelligence. So, there's others.
I have a PowerPoint presentation I can share with you.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Maharaj, I have a question. Devaki happens to be the first mother, and we have Yashoda, who is, we call it, we understand that second mother. So I wanted to understand why there is, in devotee channels we say that Yashoda Maharaj's position is something unique and very special. So I just wanted to understand if the reason behind that special position of Yashoda Maharaj is due to the difference in Yashoda Maharaj happens to be in Vrindavan.
Yes.
Devaki happens to be in
their mood of love is different. Just like, for example, in Canto 1, Chapter 8 is Kunti's prayers. Queen Kunti. Correct? You with me?
Yes.
Okay. So, Queen Kunti has a relationship with Krishna as the aunt. She is Vasudev's sister. So she has an affection for Krishna like Devaki, the mother, as the aunt. And she regards Krishna as, she's not the mother, she's the aunt. She has regard for Krishna as super soul. Manifest and moving out about amongst us. And she's bewildered when Krishna approaches her and touches her feet and offers his respects to her. That's not what super souls do to persons. But she's completely bewildered by the love that Mother Yashoda has for Krishna. And the reciprocation with Mother Yashoda's love for her, by he who is feared by feared personified, when he sees a little stick in Mother Yashoda's hands, he starts to cry. And tears are streaming from his eyes. He's not pretending, he's afraid of the stick in Mother Yashoda's hands. So she throws the stick away. And then she binds him. Devaki can't understand that love. Kunti can't understand that love. There are circumstances where the queens of Dwarka can't understand the Pandavas and Draupadi. But the love that Yashoda has, so she knows only intimacy of love. Devaki knows both intimacy of love and majesty, opulence, awe and reverence. So how can a mother have awe and reverence? She's got motherly love. Mother Jasoda only has motherly love. So there's a distinction between the two. So Krishna appears in Mathura as the eighth child of Devaki. Simultaneously, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Yashoda gave birth to twins, a female child and a male child. So when Vasudeva is bringing his child, Krishna, to place by the side of Yashoda, you with me? The Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, son of Devaki, of Yashoda, the child that Krishna, that Vasudeva was carrying, merged with or entered into that Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. So there's one child. And then he took the female child. And when Krishna returned to Mathura, remember the scene when what Akura saw when he was taking Krishna with his chariot to Mathura. Krishna and Balaram wanted to take a bath in the Jamuna before entering Mathura. So he stopped the chariot and they took their bath and he came to the chariot. You with me?
Yes.
Okay, so Akura then saw Krishna and Balaram in the Jamuna, but they just left them in the chariot. So he went back and they're in the chariot, wondering what's going on. Then he went back and he saw Anantashesh and Lord Vishnu reclining on Anantashesh and the personified Vedas and all the demigods surrounding them. Our acharyas explained Krishna stayed in Vrindavan and Vasudeva Krishna went to Mathura. Krishna stayed in Vrindavan and entered into the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan. He never leaves Vrindavan. It's special. The potency, through Krishna's potencies, he can do whatever. And he has such love for the residents of Vrindavan and for Vrindavan, he never leaves Vrindavan. He makes his pastimes manifest or not manifest, but he's always in Vrindavan. And Mother Yashoda is the mother in Leela, because God has no mother. The mother of Krishna in Leela. And Devaki is the mother of Krishna in Mathura. And she has this combined mood of love. Reverential, forearm form appearing in the prison house of Kamsa, offering him prayers. You read her prayers. And she's recognizing his divinity. And then as she's praying, her motherly affection starts to well. And she appreciates, she would like to see Krishna in his childlike form. And she gives this illogic logic. The voice that said, the eighth child of myself is going to kill you, it's this four-armed form, the same one that killed him in his previous life. It's Kalanami, Lord Vishnu. And when he comes, he's going to see you as Lord Vishnu with four arms. So assume a childlike form. If he's Vishnu, who can harm Vishnu? assume a childlike form. It's her parental affection. The intimacy of love, affection of a mother for her child. So, that's Devaki. And then there's Yashoda. And the intimacy of love of Yashoda is very special. Yes.
Is the spiritual identity of Devaki and Yashoda, is it different? Or
they are different. What did... When Vasudev Krishna appeared, he said, in your previous lives, you were Sutapa and Prishni, and you underwent austerities for a long period of time. And I said I would become your child for three lifetimes. So they're not identical. Yashoda is Yashoda.
You mentioned Vyasadeva and Bhagavatam. Can I ask a question on the question that came up in the Bhakti Bhiksha?
Sure.
The second verse of Bhagavatam, Nidhama Kalpataru, in that the translation says that this has been written by the great sage Vyasadeva.
Vyasadeva is writing in the third person, as if it was...
Right.
The authors sometimes do that. So?
And also he has mentioned that and it has been spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, so it has become sweet.
Yeah.
So, but Sukadeva Goswami spoke it after he wrote it. Is that the context? Correct. So how did he know? Is it because he was Trikala?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
You mentioned that Krishna did not leave Vrindavan. Actually, he entered into the hearts of Rajas. Krishna, and like Vasudeva, left Vrindavan to Mathura.
Yeah.
But actually, Krishna, even he entered into the hearts of Rajas. No, he said no.
Krishna. Vasudeva form of Krishna went to Mathura, but Krishna, real Krishna,
he never leaves Vrindavan.
He went and he entered the hearts of the Raja.
Yeah.
So that is what he said. You want to continue?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in that case, like, why gopis were feeling separation of Krishna?
It's rasa. They were with Krishna in their hearts. But part of the glory of rasa is there's meeting and there's separation. So they were feeling separation.
No, they are not able to conceive the physical form.
But it's not physical, it's spiritual. It's rasa. Don't use material yardsticks with rasa because it won't work. It's a feeling. It's an emotion. It's a love and separation. It gets more bizarre. Prema Vaichitra is an example of where the gopis or Radharani are with Krishna and they're feeling separation from Krishna when they're with Krishna. Because in one case they're anticipating separation, in another case they hear something that says Krishna has gone although he's there, and they get absorbed in this feeling of separation although he's there. It's mysterious. It's not rational. It's mysterious. It's rasa. It's feelings intense. Love is intensified when there is separation. So though Krishna is there, just like here's a flip side of the example that you just gave, although Krishna was in their heart, they weren't seeing him. There's the situation where Krishna is appreciating the quality of the gopis, that they have this capacity to always think of Krishna and remember Krishna and be with Krishna. This is when he's, you know, he calls them in the dead of night playing his flute. So you should just go back to your homes. And they don't want to go back to their homes. Although they're with Krishna in their hearts. They want to be with Krishna in meeting, not separation. As part of what separation wants, is it wants meeting. It doesn't want separation. So when there's separation, you don't want separation, you want meeting. And even when there's meeting, there's anticipation of separation, which intensifies the meeting and the feelings of love. So it's just a science of love or a science of rasa. And the gopis are, and not only gopis, all the residents of Vrindavan are experiencing that.
They have the anticipation of separation only after Akrura comes to Vrindavan.
No. Even when they're just with Krishna for a moment, even, you know, way before Akrura is on the scene, and their childhood pastimes, they're together, and then there's, if this is not going to last, Krishna's going to be gone.
So they were actually in ecstasy in the presence of Krishna?
Yes. Yes, exactly. 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 Okay.
Maharaj, you know, when you said about this Vyasadeva Tripadakina, so you can write what is going to happen in the, but when you are reading this Bhagavatam,
yeah,
it says it is the compiled by Vyasadeva. But you know, reading insert says some verses are spoken by Sukadeva, some by Saunakam.
No problem.
So
can you write a book about people that say other things? Vyasadeva can. People do it all the time. People write about something that somebody said. No problem. It goes out. So now, here's the uniqueness. The uniqueness is, just as we're face to face right now, Vyasa's Trikala. Yeah. He can know in the past, perfectly as much as, better than we can know what's going on right now. And in the future, he can know perfectly, better than we can know what's going on right now. And he can write about the future before it happens perfectly. No problem. For us, it's a problem. It's like, you know, no, we can't, that can't happen. That's us. But Vyas can. And he does. Like Lord Buddha. I mean, this is an interesting thing when I visit China, discuss this with the people from China, that Vyasadeva knew about the coming of Lord Buddha before he appeared. Down to detail. You know, where, his mother's name, what he would do, his whole program, before it happened. Because he's Trikalagya. And he writes about it in future tense. No problem. For us, we can't do that. But Vyas can do that. Yes?
Once in a very long time opportunity to receive this gift of Lord Chaitanya. So I see that I have so many obstacles in receiving this gift of Lord Chaitanya. So how do I continue to, how do I actually try to receive it?
Be ready to receive it. Be eager to receive it. Don't be complacent. I mean, not to say that you are, but that's what to do. Eagerness. What does Rupa Goswami say is the qualification? He takes, you know, willingness and amplifies it. Eagerness amplifies it. Greediness is required. but we're not there. So we just like extend our hand, try to receive it, try to understand what it is. And once we understand what it is, we may be a little more eager to receive it and associate with those that, like that, that's another thing to do. Those that understand what the gift is. Those who have, to some degree, greater than oneself, received it. And by association with such persons, that qualification those persons have become your qualification, through association. Okay. Thank you very much. Prabhupada Ki Jai.